हो गया बैठे हो गए अच्छे अच्छे
To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us co-founder Mr. Avinash Sethi. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will follow with the Q&A session. Kindly ask your questions by raising hand after the brief overview by Avinash is over, and then we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with uncertainties and risks that we face. These uncertainties and risks are included, but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus side of the SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you will find on our website. With that said, now I have turned over the call to Mr. Avinash. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you, Surbhi. Thank you, everybody, for joining this call. We appreciate your time and your interest in InfoBeans. So this September quarter results are out here, and before we jump into the financials, for the new audience who doesn't know him about InfoBeans, a very quick overview. InfoBeans was a company founded in 2000, and we are focused on digital transformation and product engineering. On the map, you can see locations that we are present at, and currently, the key strategy that we follow is we want to work with large enterprise customers so that we can generate repeat business in our long tenured relationships. At the same time, we are also riding on the back of platform companies like Salesforce, ServiceNow, Microsoft, UiPath, and Automattic. And there's one more partnership we have struck this year, this quarter. So the idea is to work with these companies get an opening inside large enterprises using these platforms. So once we are there, we can then expand our wings and follow land and expand strategy using these platforms. Next. This is a quick journey map, over the years, how we have progressed. Last year, by end of March 2023, we completed, we touched a revenue of 399 crores. And 2 years ago, we were at 196. So it's almost more than double the revenue. And we also acquired a company from Pune, which is Salesforce Platinum Consulting Partner called Internet Solutions. Now it is renamed to InfoBeans Cloud Tech. So our core strategy for growth is both organic and inorganic. We continue to make attempts to grow organically as well as inorganically. Quick glance on the numbers. 6 months numbers, we did 190 crores in the last 6 months, 30 crore EBITDA. That is at 8 crores of cash and cash equivalents, which includes account receivables. Most of them are current. Most of them are good. All of them are good. Which is 193 crores of cash and cash equivalent. We have grown at 40%, 41% CAGR since inception in the last 23 years. One of the points that I mentioned earlier was we focus on large enterprise customers, and we have a good portfolio of Fortune 500 customers as well as businesses with $1 billion in revenue or in valuations. So we have a very large set of customers, which allows us to strike repeat business, generate repeat business from these clients and stay with them over a long tenure. Some of our clients are as old as 20 years with us in the making. Some of the partnerships that we already have and awards which have been given to us. Salesforce is a Platinum Consulting Partner. We are a Premier Partner for ServiceNow. We are Gold Certified Partner for Microsoft. We've been awarded the Dream Companies to Work For, Great Place to Work. And recently, we've been also awarded as Top Best Companies for Women in India. So we are among top 100 companies in India which are rated highly for working for women. Next, please. So these are the core offerings to our customers in the all the markets that we operate in. So enterprise customers, customized applications for them around implementation, integration, and migration of CRM packages, ServiceNow packages, then user experience, rapid prototyping. Then we are investing in blockchain technologies. We are also active on the RPA space and the DevOps space. So these are all high growth technology areas. That is what we are focusing on so that we can generate a much higher return, much higher growth rate for our business. So for the clients, ALM is the client which is with us for almost 20 years now. IQVIA is a healthcare Fortune 500 company. CodeVantage is a HR product company. We are building products with them on the HR space. TripAdvisor is a very popular name. SMBC is a multinational bank, banking and financial services from Japan. And there is a storage company, which is a Fortune 500 company, and then a Fortune 200 company. Couple more interesting names out there. We can't really name them, but there are large companies who are working with us over multiple years. The growth trajectory I was mentioning, if you look at FY21 to FY23, we almost doubled. If you look at FY19 to FY22, we doubled there. And then, from FY20 to FY23, we doubled there. So the stated goal, we want to double ourselves every 3 years. And we are on path, on trajectory for that. EBITDA keeps moving between 20% to 29%. We stay at 24 is a comfortable number for us. PAT has been also wavering from 13, now from 9 to let's say 19%. We believe that 14%, 15% is a comfortable range for us. Next, please. The three founders on the screen and the independent directors that we have on board. Founders from acquired companies as well as long-term leaders that have been, that have grown with Infobeans and are very important pillars of strength for Infobeans. Here, if you look at, again, the very strong leadership lineup, with a very long tenure at Infobeans as well. And each of these individuals is a star performer in its own right and have been immense contributors to Infobeans. And I think everybody also holds the stock options. We call them partners in the company. The Q2 highlights here, September 23, if you look at the rightmost column, from 94 in June to 95 in September, of almost 15 crores in EBITDA to 15.4, and 3 crores of PAT to 4 crores of PAT between quarter and quarter. We've been talking every con call that there is a cost pressure, and as a team, we are underutilized. If you look at the September 22 number, we did 102 crores, almost with the same team size. We could do another 7 or 8 crores on this number. on the September 23 number, which is 95 crores, which would more or less will trickle down to the EBITDA and PAT numbers. Essentially, you know, the market is really tough at this point in time. But if we are able to generate, you know, some more revenue on top of this, then, you know, we'll be back to normal EBITDA margins and PAT margins. We've been continuing to work towards focusing on controlling our cost and increasing our sales and marketing reach to our customers so that we can generate more business. And we are continuing to focus on high growth areas. We're also renewing our client contracts as and when the opportunity arises so that we can pass on the increased costs to our customers. And we're not seeing any pushback, so that's a good news. In the constant currency terms, the revenue remains stable. So, you know, more or less flattish. The only solace here is that we are holding up even in the difficult times. Thanks. Some detailed numbers here. In the other income, we have seen a slight increase because we got a government grant from the U.S. government. It is called as ERC, which is Employee Retention Credit. It was U.S. government's mechanism to offer some support to companies which have not laid off people in the COVID times, 2 years of COVID times. So we applied for it, and there's a delay in the process, but we are getting some credit. We're expecting three more such installments to come in future of the similar amount. EBITDA has been, so as I said, we've been focusing on reducing our costs. So we saved some money there, but we also spent a lot of money on the sales and marketing expenses. Most of the events have become in-person events, conferences, global conferences, which are stuck because of COVID. Now they've all gone in person. And we've attended each one of those so that we can increase our market presence and generate more business. So we are putting money where it is needed and trying to grow the business aggressively. There's a slight improvement in PAT, but this is because of the tax exempt income on the other income side, which is the credit that we got. That's pretty much it on the number side. You know, the split between digital transformation product engineering remains the same, 50-50 more or less. Cloud tech is contributing about 19% of the overall kitty. We have now expanded into 4 markets, including India now. So India is now contributing about 6%. Europe has grown very well. It is now contributing about 15%. So very aggressive growth in the European market. And we are very positive that we should be able to retain it moving forward. So key updates on various dimensions here. We struck a partnership on a low-code platform. So we are focusing on low code, which allows for rapid application building, and RPA also, which allows for rapid application deployment and testing and other things. So that way, we're trying to see if we can reduce people costs by use of these technologies. We got six large enterprise customers in Q2. Including one Fortune 500 customers. Since it is under NDA, we can't name it. M&A pipeline remains good. We have one company each in Salesforce, ServiceNow, and product engineering space. We continue to have discussions around these companies. There is nothing concrete at this point in time, but the talks are in good. Discussions are going on. As I said, we continue to work on sales side and marketing side, attended global events of Salesforce, which is called Dreamforce, ServiceNow, which is hosting an annual event called Knowledge, And then there are UI UX conferences, which happens in the local market in the US. We attended all of those. And we also have done multiple events on the city level. I think there are some pictures in the later half of the presentation, where we'll talk about the local meetups and events we're doing for Salesforce and ServiceNow, just to strengthen our presence in these markets. And now since India is also opening up as a market, both Salesforce and ServiceNow are very aggressive in the Indian market. So we want to ride that opportunity also. On the ESG front and the CSR front, there are some developments. We run an aggressive program called the Influence Foundation, under Influence Foundation called ITEP, which is Information Technology Excellence Program. It's an annual program for underprivileged students, and we train them to become employable. So after a year of rigorous training from the practitioners, we have found that in 3 years, we have been able to place 106 students out of 113, which was a kind of a milestone which was celebrated in Indore. And now at current point in time, we have 3 centers in Indore where we are training 120 students simultaneously. So we're very positive about the contribution that we are able to make towards the community. And these 106 families have really transformed, you know, from after this employment. So very happy for that. We also got certification from ISO 14001 and 45001 towards the ESG compliances. Now the pictures, Dreamforce event, which was in the Silicon Valley, conducted in Silicon Valley. Our founders internal founders are also there. We attended this Dreamforce Salesforce event in India, which was one of the biggest event called India Driven. We sponsored that event. And there was they're also active in the standards space. ICC, one of the big clients there, they do an annual event, so we attended that. Next. US conference attended by Philosophy founder, ex-founder of Philosophy, which was Immersion. And we did a roundtable discussion in ServiceNow where they invited all the partners in India to figure out how to grow in the Indian market. Then another conference in Las Vegas. Some local events, as I said, Dev Days organized in cities like Pune, Hyderabad, Bangalore, and Jaipur. We became a Platinum sponsor there. And on the screen, you see the center, in the center, lady in sari, Ms. Sadamati Roy. She was ex-chairman of SBI. And Salesforce is now very active in the Indian market, and they want to deploy Salesforce across all the public sector banks. Therefore, they roped in Arunati Roy as India CEO for Salesforce. So we kind of got an opportunity to work with her and explore the Indian space of the BFSI segment. Another standard event, and we had a platinum sponsor there. From the awards, 100 top 100 best companies for women in India, we got this award second time in a row, and then Asia's best employer award seventh time in a row. Thanks. Yeah, the event that I was talking about, you know, the ceremony, convocation ceremony, and the orientation program happened in the presence of the honorable district magistrate Dr. Ilaya Raja in Indore. So regular social activities and fitness camps that we conduct in our offices on the health checkups, eye checkups, you know, environmental responsibilities, and employee safety management. So just a line on the last slide. The promoter share keeps on showing a decline every quarter. That's only because of the stock options, which is increasing the size of the pie. And therefore, every stakeholder, including promoters, gets diluted slightly. So, you know, quarter on quarter, if you see, there would be a slight decrease in terms of the promoter holding, purely because stock options are getting executed every quarter. Thanks. That's pretty much it. I think we can jump on questions and answers, and we can invite the audience to you know, pose their questions.
Participants who would like to ask questions can please ask to unmute
by raising their hand.
Yeah, we'll have to order a sequence, right? So we have to follow a sequence where everybody gets a chance. So can we see them?
Abhishek Kumar has raised his hand. Abhishek, I'm unmuting your line. Please unmute yourself.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yeah, Abhishek, you're louder, please.
Yeah, is it audible better now?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, team, for putting all these efforts and slides and giving a brief understanding of where company is heading out. I'll just try to rephrase my question into two parts. So my first part of question is like the US grant amounts, what you guys are getting it. I mean, what plans, like how you're planning to expend that grants, because I heard that you are going to expend get the same amount of grant for another 4 quarters. And the next part of question would be basically, do you guys have any future plans for anything related to AI? Any internal building of AI or any client for that? Yeah, I guess that's my two parts of the question. Thank you.
Sure, Abhishek. So just let me correct you. We got one, so we'll probably get three more. So it's not four, it's total four clients. So one is already received, three more will come. There is no separate plan that we need to create for using these grants. This money is typically for the you know, salaries that we paid in the past. But nevertheless, the idea is to grow the business. So we continue to invest in growth in all directions. And to follow up on the second part that you talked about, we are choosing a couple of technologies to invest in. Blockchain is one active investment that we have done over the last 12 months. And second thing that we are asking our team is to, and we do a regular monthly event on AI. Currently, we are spreading the knowledge around AI and the tools that are available to us to practice some of those AI capabilities. If you look at the platforms that we are operating or the platform that we are working with, like Salesforce and ServiceNow, both of them have come out with their AI modules. So we are exploring those. The challenge with AI is, you know, you can only practice those tools. You can't really, as a company, we don't have access to data to really do something meaningful around AI. So essentially what Indian IT industry is going to look for, I mean, what they're aiming for is use the tools and engines already being provided by the big players and see how you can you know, benefit your clients. So that is where I think we are also exploring these AI tools and technologies which are available to us by way of either these platforms or by way of Google or by way of Microsoft. So it is an exploration exercise, and we are investing our time in learning and making our team aware of these tools.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Because I know Salesforce does have Einstein, but that is not a stable version, I mean, for still to integrate with ChatGPT or something. But yeah, I was thought of like internally, you guys are also exploring, I mean, to build up something like kind of an R&D kind of a thing to propose the future challenges for the services for an AI perspective. That was the thought for the question. But anyway, thanks for that.
Correct. We are doing that, and you know, just since we are on the financial side of business, we did explore ChatGPT and kind of tools, and you know, paired that tool with all the annual reports of Infobeans and the investor presentations, and try to generate data from it, or you know, try to ask human queries to that. And the results were pathetic. It was not coming out effectively. So we are trying those test cases and trying to see if it fits to any of our customers. Because you know, unless you have a prototype, or unless you have a implementation which is meaningful to a business, you know, it is not going to be useful. So we are working in that direction. As I said, it is still early and in the exploration mode.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abhishek. The next question comes from the line of Rajesh Chaudhary. Rajesh, I am allowing you to talk. Please unmute yourself.
Yeah. Good evening. My first question is regarding the revenue. The revenue is more or less stagnant for many quarters. So by when can we expect the growth to come back?
That is, I want it to happen yesterday. You know, it is not not our, I mean, we can all wish for it, but as I said, the market is tough. We've been meeting every customer. We've been aggressive in terms of going on the ground and talking to people. We are attending a lot of events, sponsoring some of them. So we are increasing our presence very aggressively. What I can tell you is the signs are good. We are getting inquiries. We are getting requests for more work. But it is not at a pace that we all anticipated or we all wish for. The other thing is there's also a relativity lens that we have to correct. As I said, you know, we grew very fast in the last 2 years, between 21 to 23, and we doubled ourselves in that two-year period. All of a sudden, the brakes are applied, and, you know, all the economies are just, particularly the Western world, is just being extremely cautious. So when I remove that relativity lens, and if I look at the growth between, you know, 19, 20, 21, then I would not really worry too much about the flattishness of the revenue. One thing to look at is, you know, if we have doubled ourselves, we already had a higher number, and at least we are able to protect it in some way. So that is one positive outcome to look at. Now, how can I go from 90 to 100 to, you know, 115 to 120? I think the efforts in both organic and inorganic direction are on. Now, typically, and as an investor, you would only see when it happens. That's the unfortunate part. But as a participant, as a, you know, people inside the business, we see that we are better off between 2 quarters in the past versus today. The situation is far more, I would say, positive as compared to what it was in the month of April or May. So I'm finding it as a decent space to be in, but totally understand your point that there is no growth in terms of the numbers, which is what we are also struggling with. And, you know, as I said, we wish it should be better, and it's not only the wish, we are actually working hard in all the directions. It's only time that the results will show up, but you know, when, I can't really pinpoint.
Mm-hmm. And secondly, regarding the EBITDA margins, means they are also on the lower side, because it's a double whammy if you see the revenues are flattish and then the margins are slowing down. So that is a bit concerning as an investor, to be honest.
No, absolutely. As I mentioned, you know, we could do 7 to 8 crores of revenue with a similar team size and similar team cost, which would add up to the margins and the you know, EBITDA and PAT margins. So it is just that we can't really you know, trim down the teams or you know, our business cost cannot be reduced on a temporary basis. Mm-hmm. So we want to maintain the high performers that we have in the team. We want to maintain the relationships. We want to visit customers. So all of those expenses will continue to happen. As I said, any catch up in revenue, any catch up in utilization levels will immediately boost the margins. So I think we are all waiting for that. And I'm now hoping that it will be sooner than later. It will start to show growth.
And lastly, regarding the new technologies, like how much is the AI or blockchain part of our total revenue contribution?
So if you look at blockchain, is a drain right now because we are investing in it. Mm-hmm. We have a team which is...
These will be the engines of growth for coming years, as I understand, as you are investing in new capabilities and new technologies.
Yeah, that's an investment. We can't make it work in progress because of the accounting standards. So it is a cost which is happening without any revenue. Mm-hmm. Same is the case with sales. You know, sales is an investment that we make for future. So these are the things that are dragging the margins. And since it is an important initiative, we can't really drop it. Mm-hmm. So blockchain is an important element in the entire equation, which is the investment happening right now. There is no revenue against it. Similarly, the AI, there is no such investment as such in the AI, but we are spending our time to learn and apply those tools and technologies and see whether we can use it in our existing customers' market. So yeah, I mean, there are some expenses we can't avoid and we don't want to avoid. Mm-hmm. So it is an act, you know, it's a conscious call to you know, continue on that path.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I'm all set. All the best.
Thank you, Rajesh. Thank you. You want to unmute line over there, sir?
Yeah, so there are a few questions in Q&A, which are there.
Okay, so I can address the questions there. There's an anonymous attendee asking for my thoughts on revenue and PAT guidance for next few quarters. Unfortunately, we don't offer any guidance because, you know, as I said, we also don't know. We want and we are investing in that direction, but, you know, there is no guidance we can offer on revenue and PAT. The next question is from Abhishek Kumar. Any pipeline prospect in Australian market? If no, any marketing in that part of the world? Unfortunately, no, Abhishek. We don't focus on Australian market. In fact, we have a client already in New Zealand, but we are not actually pursuing any opportunities there. We already have 3-4 markets to work in. No point in opening another one and stretching ourselves too thin. Abhi, there's another question from Abhi. Why do you find it difficult to grow Q1Q and YOY when companies of smaller size, same size and bigger in size are managing to grow regularly? You were just giving the same reasons on the past 3 quarters, which is not justified. I agree, Abhi. You know, the restlessness is on both sides. We are equally restless on the current situation. Yes, we have all kinds of examples where some companies are growing, some companies are growing very, very well, some companies are growing in 2 digits, some are growing in single digit, some are not growing. Unfortunately, we belong to the last category. We are also unhappy with it. And, you know, I share the restlessness and frustration that you are talking about. But yes, you know, That is the situation right now.
The next question comes from the line of Richa Agrawal, which I am allowing you to talk. Please unmute yourself.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Am I audible? Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, like you said that, you know, there are some companies that are witnessing growth, some are quite stagnant. I just wanted to understand in the end markets, I know you don't give sector-wise revenue, but if you could highlight, you know, for us, what are the areas where we are witnessing slowdown and what is our exposure to them? And if there is anything that we are doing consciously to increase our exposure in the areas or, you know, in terms of capabilities where there is a scope to grow.
So, good question, Richa. So, what we do is we are a technology company, and we aim to focus on technology play rather than industry vertical play. So, we don't call ourselves an expert in healthcare or BFSI or HR or storage, but we say that we are an expert in, let's say, product engineering or Salesforce or ServiceNow or even user experience as a capability, and we try and pitch in those areas. Now, one of the strategies that we're actively pursuing is trying to go into existing accounts and see if we can expand into those accounts which are large companies. So our wallet share is very minuscule in the total equation of things, where these companies have, you know, multi-billion dollar budgets on the IT side. So we are trying to expand into those accounts. It is our way to find the least path of resistance to expand into existing accounts itself. So that is one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that we are riding on the back of platforms like Salesforce and ServiceNow. Therefore, if you look at, we are very active in the space where we are, growing in, trying to grow in all the four geographies that we operate in, using the sales executives of these companies. So Salesforce is selling its product, and they want the professional partners, services partners like us, to implement and service their clients. Same goes with ServiceNow. So we are riding on the back of their sales teams, so that we can also, again, it is another path of least resistance, so that we can get into large enterprises and try and expand there. So we are following several strategies to shorten the timeline for sales. But then what is happening over the market that we are interacting with is everybody is talking business, but then nobody is willing to commit any funds for investment right now. Because in their market, they're seeing that inflation is high. They're seeing that market is the expenses or the consumption is reduced in the market. So everybody is worried about new business, and they're not really willing to make more investments at this point in time. So they're holding up. So which is also, falling back on us that, there are delays in deal closures. The other area that we are continuously working towards is on the inorganic side, that we look at companies which are good synergies and we can acquire them. The pipeline is very active, very good pipeline in the M&A space. And the other thing that has happened is in last 6 months is the valuation, the expectation has also come to a correction. Earlier, the valuation demand was very high on the business side. Now they are post-corrected, and they are now coming in a reasonable range, which is our comfort area where we can strike a deal. So the market is changing for us in that way. And unless something happens, I can't really commit. We don't have a practice of giving guidance, so I can't give any guidance as well. So, but let me reassure everybody on the call that we are continuously working very aggressively, moving out in the market and trying to close both on the organic side and the inorganic side.
And sir, within the small cap IT space, who would be your closest peers, you know, in the listed Indian space?
We don't really, do a lot of analysis there. I would say, I think one company comes to mind is maybe Stacksoft. They've done pretty well in the last few years. They were stagnant, between 19 to 21, but from 21 onwards, they've grown very well.
Okay. And sir, I just wanted to understand, you know, the kind of services and solutions that we offer to our clients. Are these more of generic in nature or specialized? How difficult would it be for the client to switch? And what would be the duration of these contracts? And one more thing is, when you look at the deal pipeline now as compared to, you know, last few quarters or last year, I mean, do you get a sense of revival by the end of the year, or this slowdown could actually stretch beyond that?
I think there is a positivity signal that we see here. As I said earlier, between the sentiment in April versus sentiment today, I think we have a stronger sentiment today versus what it was. Every IT company in India is similar in my mind. They do similar kind of work, and they can be replaceable. They can be replaced by anybody. So I don't think there is any, what do you say, any rocket science that IT companies are offering in India. I mean, be it Infosys, be it TCS, be it Persistent, be it Infobeam, be it any other Mindtree, any other company, they are all doing similar stuff. And therefore, the teams, we hire people from all of these companies, and they also hire from all the other IT companies. So if the people are moving, from one to another, obviously the capability set are also, moving one to another. So there is no uniqueness in that sense, or there is no, I would say, nobody is irreplaceable in my mind. So I would say there is no, moat in the technology, if you want to call that. What else? Pipeline-wise, as I said, the strength is better at this point in time.
Okay. And sir, could you also share, the share of top
Richa,
client
I'm
concentration?
sorry.
Okay,
Richa,
fine. I'll come back. Thank you.
Richa, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have few more participants who are willing to ask questions. May I please line you in the queue?
Sure, please. Sure.
The next question comes from Hetal Sonpal. Hetal, I'm allowing you to talk. Please unmute yourself.
Hey, hi Avinash, how are you?
Hetal, very well. How are you?
Wonderful. So I know there might not be a direct impact, but are your customers talking about potential impact of the Gulf conflict on the business in the near term?
No, we have not heard of any such thing.
Okay. Yeah, because some of the other businesses have been talking about it, so I thought I'd check from an Infobeans perspective. Thanks. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you, we have a few more questions in the Q&A.
How CaseWorks is different from Infobeans? What are they doing differently during this tough time period? No idea. Sorry. AI tools are extremely helpful in improving their productivity and rapid prototyping. Any pilots running within company for that? We are using coding tools or AI tools to improve the developer productivity. That's what we're saying. We are making our team, all the developer community, we are making internally aware. We are running a monthly program called as AI Symposium, where we are sharing knowledge among the developers within the company, so that they can use these tools. and generate and reduce their development time. So yes, that is going on. So yeah, answer to that is yes. The next question is from AVK. What is your call to improve revenue? What is your call to improve revenue? What does it mean? Any restructuring requiring technical expertise, ideal manpower management, etc. in your drawing board? Okay, so I think I mentioned about a lot of attempts in terms of working towards sales closures and increasing revenue side. I think we are already, so all the four areas that we are working on is already high growth areas. So ServiceNow, Salesforce, the demand continues to be there in these businesses. User experience and you know, automation towards through low code or through RPA. So all of these are high growth areas. I don't think we need to worry about any restructuring there. We are already placed well. We saw results happening in the past where we have been able to grow at a faster pace. So I think that's good. Ideal manpower, yes, we have optimized cost at the people front. But then, you know, we have come at a point where we can't really reduce any further. It's kind of, you know, coming to the bone. We have kind of trimmed ourselves to the bone in that sense. So yeah, I mean, as I said, all of these things are happening. Remuneration is a, so another question is, do you think the remuneration to the resources needs to be reviewed periodically against the resource demands? One thing that has happened to all the companies in COVID is the salary costs have shot through the roof. And there is no way you can reduce it. There is no way you can, you know, stall it. We'll have to continue to support that kind of a cost structure. So yeah, the answer is we can't really, you know, change it. Plus, the customers are demanding experienced people. They don't want fresh graduates, which is also hurting the space where, you know, you can't hire 100 freshers and then train them for a year and then get them deployed. It is not happening. So that's not the problem where you can't really manage the cost pyramid. So yeah, it is difficult.
I think we are at the top of the hour, Ganesh.
Okay.
So thank you so much, everyone. I would request Surbhi to please do the closing.
Thank you everyone for joining this earnings call. If you have any further questions, you can write to us on our email ID.
I think there's two more questions, right? Let's take that.
Okay, we have few more questions.
So Richa, I see the last question from Richa. Could you share the client concentration, attrition rates, duration of contracts, and share of repeat business? So Richa, we get 90% plus business as repeat business every year. Attrition rates are 14% at this point in time, which is usual rate pre-COVID for us. Duration of contracts, typically we get 6 months SOWs. MSAs, which is a long-term envelope, the contract with the customers are 3 to 5 years. But every project which is under SOW, which is statement of work, comes in 6 months or 12 months cycle. Client concentration, I think the top 10% gives us about 60% revenue, and top 20 will give us about 75% or I think close to 80% revenue. So yeah, we are very high on the client concentration in terms of the large enterprises. Last question, there's one more question from AVK, which is there was a great demand for resources 3 years back. Are we still continuing with the high remuneration during the low demand time? Yes, you are right in assuming that AVK, the remuneration demand is still high, even though the businesses are not growing. So incidentally, the technology area that we are in, the salary levels are very high in those areas. So we have this cost pressure continue to be there. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you for your time and patience.
So thank you everyone for joining the earnings call. If you have any other questions, you can write to us on our email address, investor.relations@verifinformation.com.